Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Tuesday. Big 11 o'clock hour ahead. The Wendy's Zone at 11:40 as always.
Thanks.
Carter Blackburn going to join us from CBS Sports. He's calling the Auburn-Texas A&M game on
Saturday.
Yeah,
man.
That's going to be a hell of a football game. But you know what's good about that football game?
What's that?
Kind of just an appetizer.
Oh, yeah. Because
for the main course at 8 o'clock.
The showdown. This going to, man, and I'm so excited to get up to Athens. And y'all come holler at us. We're going to be at the Grindhouse. Me and Andy, Dukes and Bell, Wendy and Brian are going to be up there with us. So, man, yeah, y'all come holler at us. It's going to be a great atmosphere up in Athens. I'm so excited.
I'm
so excited, dude.
Like, I get excited about a lot of the stuff we get to do. I was excited about Sunday Night Football and all that. That was really great.
Yes.
I'm so pumped to be in Athens on Friday and just see what the atmosphere is like, even the day before the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over there and see the game day. Obviously, College Game Day is going to be there on Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
And our guy Johnny, always taking care of us. Johnny at Grindhouse, he always takes care of us. So,
you know, it's been too long since I've seen Johnny.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while.
I'm looking forward to seeing Johnny on Friday as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see you there in Athens either on Friday or on Saturday. Let's kick off the 11 o'clock hour with the NFL No Huddle, brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up, another way they make you smile. Dan Quinn spoke about a lot of different things yesterday in his media availability. Caleb McGarry's injury status was one of them. He also talked about his punter.
I would say for him, you'd probably need to know on Friday, you know, because I don't know if it's as much with the team as much as does he have the power to do it. So we'll give him all the time he needs to see, you know, where he can get to and get the rehab in a week. You can make a lot of improvement, but we'll only put him out there if he can, you know, do him. And if he can't, then we'll have to make some adjustments to go.
Yeah. So Matt Bosher's taking it day by day, as we all are, through the week. Unfortunately, Matt Bosher's the punter of the team. We're not. So Friday seems like kind of a late time to make a decision, doesn't it?
When I heard Dan say that, I was curious about that too. I would not be surprised they brought some guys in yesterday and bring some guys in today just to be sure. Because the one thing about it is you don't want to wait to Friday to have to make that decision and be like, okay, we got to go get a punter real quick, because in order for that to happen, you got to take somebody off your roster, you know, in order you're not going to put Bosh, you're not going to cut him. You're not going to cut him or
then
anything.
Then you got two punters.
You know what I'm saying? You got two punters. So right now, and then what we said yesterday, I think Brian said this to me in my ear, was that you got to find a punter that possibly can kick off.
That's what you want.
That's what you would prefer. Because I know if you're the Falcons, that's what you would prefer if you got Matt Bryant as your kicker.
Yeah, no one wants – look, Matt Bryant has X amount of kicks left in his body.
Yes.
I don't want to waste any of those kicks on kickoffs. The other thing is, look, it actually worked out to the Falcons' benefit on the one play where the guy fumbled on the kickoff return for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I remember? They played the Eagles on Sunday, and it was two days ago. When they fumbled and the Falcons recovered, that would have been a touchback if Bosher was kicking. So I guess that worked out.
Yeah.
But you also have the risk of them getting big yardage on a kick return as well.
And what I saw a lot of times on the coverage team is you saw the Falcons coverage team, especially Russell Gage, he was able to wiggle through, get past the front line, get past the second line, just make the tackle. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing when you start putting those speed guys at the inside parts on the kickoff team. You're there to run down the field and go get the ball. So when you get down there like you did, that easy, break down and make the damn tackle inside the 10.
We've spent more time than I would like to have talking about the punter and the kicker so far for the Falcons this season. You know what I mean?
They're part of the team.
They are. And look, I value them probably more than most. I love kickers. You know that.
Yeah. You're in a kicker league.
I'm in a kicker fantasy league. Kickers only. And I'm proud of it. I actually won last week. But I don't really want to talk about those guys that much.
Because when you're talking about them, it's usually
something bad is happening. Yeah. It means they're injured or they're missing kicks. The other kicker news, by the way, a lot of people thought Adam Vinatieri was going to retire yesterday.
I know I did.
I did too. He didn't. He will be the Colts kicker this weekend. He's been really bad so far this season. He's already missed five, including a couple of extra points. So That could very well play into things on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts.
Dude, I thought he was. I honestly thought he was going to retire. I mean, he's one of the best, if not the greatest.
I think he's the greatest kicker
of all time. Just clutch. You just think about all the stuff that he did, and hopefully this weekend he don't find it. You know, stay where you are, Adam. Don't be really good this weekend.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on Matt Bosher. Well, I guess we'll find out Friday. Hopefully he's healthy Friday and just punts on Sunday. He was not healthy Sunday night, though, and you could tell. A lot of very short, wobbly punts. Hopefully he's back to full health coming Sunday. Dan Quinn also spoke about his running back situation, including Ito Smith.
I think what he's shown is, and it's not a sexy word, but it's an important one, like he is really consistent. Run game, pass game, protection. And when you're showing that type of consistency, you know, that gives you a lot of trust.
I think consistency is sexy, personally, Dan. To each their own, I guess. But Ito Smith is a great second running back.
Yes.
Ito Smith can't be your main running back, though, can he?
No.
Can't be that?
No.
Because a lot of people wondering what's going on with Free.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Would you be better off giving the ball to Ito Smith more times and giving it to Devontae?
I don't think so, but I mean, I understand why people are saying we've said this the last couple of days. He just doesn't look like himself.
No, he doesn't.
He just doesn't, man. And if Ito, but the thing here's the thing: if Ito gives you the best chance to run the football, then you give the ball to Ito. I mean, because you got to figure something out. Like we were talking, me, you, and Mike Bell. Matter of fact, we were talking about this. Ito looks like Devontae did, you know before. You know, he got injured and all that. That's how he looked. He had that spring, that ability to make a cut on the dime and get upfield and things like that. So, I mean, I know Dirk Cutter, I heard him say it, you know, we want to be a run first team. I don't believe that. I've never believed that about the Atlanta Falcons. I know they want to run the football, but they're not a run first team, okay? Let's just stop. Miss me with that.
Did you see the breakdown on Sunday night?
Yeah.
It was like 45-17 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's what I'm like. I love, but here's the thing. It's a new league also. I mean, they don't force the run like they used to.
Yeah, some of those passes, by the way, are basically runs, though. Like a lot of those little short passes that Devontae got and little quick ones out of the backfield, those function as runs. And Devontae's best play on Sunday night against the Eagles was actually that little shovel pass. And here's the thing. I went back and looked at that a couple times last night. He looks fast when he's going straight ahead. When he got moving and he caught that ball, turned around and just went straight downfield, right. Devontae Freeman looked fast. He looked as fast as any running back that you want to see. It's about that cut ability. And that explosiveness that made Devontae Freeman not just a good, fast running back in the NFL, but a running back that you give a big contract to in the NFL. I don't see that right now. I don't see his ability to change direction like he used to be able to do. And I was trying to think about it instead of just, okay, Devontae looked like this weekend. I want him to look like this next weekend. And think about it with all of the information that we have. What are we asking Devontae to do? We're asking Devontae to look like Devontae looked in 2016,
well, he can't.
Right? Okay, so that's not what we're asking.
I mean, you of course you would love that, but I mean,
are we asking of him?
I just want him to be consistent. I just want some kind of consistent juice that something. You got to get something at this run game. I mean, like again, you're not going to average 100 yards. Well, I don't think you're going to average 100 yards a game or close to it, but you got to give him something. You got to get something. You got to have that part of the game plan as a threat. As a possible threat, you got to have that there. And there, it's just not there right now.
And I think the reason why it's not there right now, again, when you factor in everything that we know about Devontae Freeman, is we're comparing him to what he looked like when he was fresh, young, 22, 23-year-old Devontae versus a guy who's 3 years older now, hasn't played a lot of games over the last couple of seasons, and missed last year with a groin surgery.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of unrealistic to expect him to look fresh. And consistent. And consistent is the exact word that Dan Quinn just used to talk about Ito Smith.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Falcons have plenty of things to figure out over the next number of weeks, but I think the right way to use the Devontae Freeman is going to be one of the big things they have to figure out.
Yeah.
We talked about it all summer long, Randy, how vital a healthy and effective Devontae is to what this offense wants to do. He hasn't been that yet.
He has not.
Luckily, they're 1-1, and hopefully they can continue to win football games. But that is a question that we had coming into the season that has not been answered yet. And we'll continue to watch for that with Devontae. All right, on to some other stories from around the NFL. You saw what happened last night on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
The Browns won an ugly one over the Jets New York. Odell Beckham back in New York scores a touchdown. He was asked after, because remember Odell had some comments about Greg Williams during the week?
Yeah.
He was asked about Greg Williams after the game.
What was your feelings about what Greg Williams said the other day about, he basically said he didn't think you were one of the league's most dynamic players?
Who? Who's it? Oh. No, I mean, You know, everybody has the right to their own opinion. He's a phenomenal coach. He's got a great defense, but I'm done talking about it, you know. We
Thank
won,
you.
So
yes,
you know, I just tried to make plays to help the team.
Y'all damn media guys, did you hear? Of course he heard.
Okay, Odell started it, first of all, so don't blame that guy. Odell was talking about Greg Williams last week.
Look at you defending your guys, your people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
You're defending your people.
Well, you're going to sit over there and be player advocate Randy McMichael.
And you're going to be lame, support the media Andy.
Well, the lame was an adjective that didn't need to be put in there, but that's okay. I'm a proud media member,
Randy. I know you are.
There's nothing wrong with that question.
Why do you have to ask the question? What does it have relevant on what happened in that game?
Because it's interesting. It's interesting.
No, yeah, no,
it doesn't have anything to do with the football game itself. That's okay. Does every question have to be about football?
You would prefer it.
Of course you would.
Okay, then.
But that's not the way it works. You don't get questions that you prefer.
Then don't get mad because somebody don't want to answer your question.
He also asked him about the defense that he's the defensive coordinator of.
And see, here comes another media member in your ear, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah. So y'all try to gang up on me?
No. I don't have any intention of doing that.
But again, it has no relevance on the game. Like I said, you asked about him. Okay, fine. But it was like, okay, I got to be the first guy to ask him about Greg Williams.
So last week when Odell was talking about Greg Williams.
Huh? And I said this last week, Odell, I said, why are you worried about him? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I said.
Okay.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't think that question gets asked yesterday, though, by that media member.
Uh-huh.
If Odell doesn't say anything about Greg Williams last week.
You might have a point there. But like I said, last week I said the same thing about Odell. I said, okay, what are you worried about that for? What happened to you? Stop whining about what happened with the Greg Williams. All right? You got hit. All right, it's a part of football. Would I prefer him not to dive your knee? No. But does it happen all the time? Yeah.
I also think the answer who has gotten lame.
It is, dude, so lame.
People have been doing that for a while now, and it was funny at first, but it's kind of played out.
When is
now.
It ever funny?
Like the first time when you pretend you don't know who someone is, but again, you talked about him last week, so.
You obviously know who he is.
Odell's the one that brought it up, so there we go. Proud media member Andy Bunker. I will rep that until the day I die.
I love you, dude. You know I do.
But, we're going to play some more audio.
Yeah.
Here's Sean Payton talking about Drew Brees.
They're still in the midst of evaluating it. He's had one opinion, having a second opinion, and as soon as we know something that we can confirm, then we'll report it. But right now, it's kind of, you know, the stage we're in.
Second opinion on Drew Brees' thumb.
By what?
Okay. I mean, I don't know. The first opinion was that he needs to have surgery and that it might happen yesterday.
What's the second opinion going to say? He needs surgery.
He doesn't?
I don't know.
I guess they're hoping that's what they say.
No player ever wants to go under the knife. That's the thing about it. That's why you always get the second opinions. But the thing with it is that you're losing time. You know,
right.
You're losing valuable time.
Every day you wait is another day before he comes back.
That's the same thing when you, like, the offseason, you need offseason surgery. Go ahead and get it done if you need it.
I never understand why people wait to get surgery.
Okay, they go into rehab. And I'm just like, dude, it's not going to get any better. If it doesn't require surgery, I get it.
Okay.
Like I said, when I broke my leg, it didn't require surgery. I just had to be in the cast for 6 weeks. So, I mean, if surgery's going to make it better, go ahead and have surgery.
One trade may happen. I know that Jalen Ramsey is trying to get traded out of Jacksonville. Minkah Fitzpatrick did get traded. He got the okay to seek a trade from the Dolphins. So basically nobody plays for the Dolphins anymore, as far as I can tell. He got traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers traded a first-round draft pick to get him. Steelers are 0-2, and they don't have their quarterback.
Yeah.
That might be a really good draft pick that the Miami Dolphins just got. And as much as we make fun of the Dolphins for how bad they are right now, which is fair, because they are, or as much as I make fun of them, they're a bad football team, Randy. It's true. They got 3 first-round draft picks next year.
Yeah.
And this one from the Steelers might end up being pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's come out that, you know, Stephen Ross and all of them, they tried to convince Minkah to stay. They wanted him to be a part of the squad, but he wanted to leave, so they got the first-round pick. Damn Dolphins. But hey, it is what it is. They got a lot of picks. Now, I feel for Chris Greer, but still, dude, just because you got all the picks, you got to do something with them.
Yes, you have to make the right pick.
Yeah.
You can't take Eddie Lacy and Brandon Whedon.
And then
you're
going to
be bad still.
And then they're going to have a whole bunch of money next year, too. But how do you convince a guy to come to come to Miami? You know, what's your vision? I mean, anybody come for the money, you throw a boatload of money, I'll be all right, because it is Miami, though. You know?
Sure.
It is South Florida. But at the same time, yeah, they got a long way to go, but who knows?
Why did the Steelers trade for
Minkah Fitzpatrick? I don't know. That's my problem. I don't know why they traded for him. I mean, are they a Minkah Fitzpatrick away from going to the playoffs? But you look at it, this contract is awesome. The Dolphins have paid him all his guaranteed money, so he's like making, like, you know, he's making $1 million, $2 million here. He's not making a whole bunch of money. Trent Richardson.
Yeah, that's the name that I meant. I didn't mean Eddie Lacy. He was okay in Green Bay for a minute.
Until he started eating.
They got a
donuts.
They got cheese fries up there. cheese fries and heavy beer. You're right. Draft picks are great as long as you draft the right people. The Browns tried to do this for the last decade, and it finally hit. The Browns are okay now, but no, it'll be a while before the Dolphins are any good.
Oh, damn Dolphins. There's a Falcons watch party at Penn and Proper, located off Grant Street near Grant Park, this Sunday at noon. Falcons prize on site with cheerleaders, Falcons alumni, and much, much more.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to our college football corner. Handful of news from the college football world to get into, as well as Carter Blackburn, lead play-by-play announcer from the CBS Sports Network. He's going to join us as well. He's calling the Auburn-Texas A&M game on CBS at 3:30 on Saturday. We'll get into all that next on the College Football Corner right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's College Football Corner. News and notes from around the world of college football with the world's greatest flag football kicker, Andy Bunker.
Big freaking deal.
And the best tight end in UGA history, Randy McMichael.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Obviously, looking forward to what is going to be a fantastic Saturday in college football. Joining us to get us ready for that is Carter Blackburn from CBS Sports. Carter's calling Auburn at Texas A&M at 3:30 on CBS this Saturday. Carter, you got a heck of a football game coming up this weekend, don't you?
It is. Hi, Andy. Hi, Randy.
How you doing?
Yes, it is. Fantastic. This is one. I mean, you can give me team A, team B, and say it's going to be 3rd and 5, and you're going to watch it, and you're going to be interested, and you're going to get excited for the game. But yes, this one in the elite environment of Kyle Field, College Station, Texas. It should be a lot of fun, and I think we'll find out if either of these teams is in any position to challenge Alabama and LSU atop the SEC West. That's a pretty tall task, but I think these are the two leading contenders to do so.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what a win for both of these teams would mean on Saturday. Everybody knows that Texas A&M has one of the most brutal schedules in college football this year. Obviously, Auburn has a tough schedule as well, being in the SEC West. What do you think a win would do individually for each of these programs if they were able to be victorious on Saturday?
I think if the Aggies win October 12th, Alabama at Texas A&M becomes a very big game in the SEC West. And, you know, the Aggies they need to play better than they did at Clemson. I mean, they didn't just lose that game. They didn't look good doing it. I heard Jimbo Fisher say yesterday there were 6 passes of 15-plus yards that they dropped in that game. And when you're talking about becoming going from a 9-win team who's in 4th and 5th place in the SEC West to one that wants to be a 10, 11, you know, if you want to contend in the SEC West and be a top 10 team and a playoff contender, you have to play better than they did against the Clemson Tigers. I mean, they just didn't. I mean, you know, credit to Clemson and all that, but that was Kellen Mond's probably worst game as Aggie quarterback. He needs to be terrific on Saturday. Like, I think he needs to have one of his best games as an Aggie if they're gonna move forward and make that October 12th game against Alabama a big, big one in College Station. And then, of course, you would say exactly the same. I mean, Auburn already has one of the biggest wins of the college football year against Oregon, and that, you know, Bo Nix as one of the great moments in college football in 2019 with the walk-off game winning touchdown. And if Auburn is able to go into College Station and win on Saturday, then everything else on Auburn's schedule becomes huge as well. So that's the fun of it. We're rolling into the thick of it now, and it's a good time.
Yeah, and the Bo Nix thing, I mean, just the way this young man has adjusted so far into Gus Malzahn's offense. But I wanted to ask you about the running back Whitlow. It seems like he is taking the role as that bell cow in Gus's offense, and they need that in order for that offense to move up and down the field.
No question about it. I mean, they have a stable. I mean, they've got five different tailbacks, and then of course we've become accustomed in the Gus Malzahn offense. I mean, that running back position could be tagged on just about anybody who's not an offensive lineman in that system. You're going to get the tight ends, the H backs, and wide receiver sweeps and all of that. But yes, it is an Auburn team that's starting to look physically like some of the best teams that he's had there. I mean, they're starting to very much look the part. And they have a big piece of that is the defensive line is getting to be elite. I mean, Derrick Brown is one of the best players in college football, regardless of position. And he's, you know, I'm making my way through every snap of Auburn season thus far, and my eyes keep going to number five, just like all the NFL scouts and everybody else. He's fun to watch.
Carter Blackburn joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Carter's calling the Auburn-Texas A&M game this Saturday on CBS. Obviously, a big Saturday on CBS with Notre Dame and Georgia at 8 o'clock. We'll ask you about that game in just a minute. I did want to ask you, though, Carter, because I know you've had a very Texas month. You called the Longhorns last weekend, and they beat Rice, but they were sort of bouncing back from their tough loss to LSU. Being around that program last weekend and last week getting ready for that, how did they seem to feel after that loss to LSU? Did they still feel like this season can really be something for them?
I'd say from being around a lot of teams, a lot of different times, I think the biggest indicator is what the head coach is saying. Is that what you are hearing from everyone else? This is probably like leadership 101. I'm sure there's 100 business books on this subject. But when Tom Herman says we're disappointed in the loss, we needed to play elite, LSU did, and now it's time to go ahead in our schedule. And then like every single person that we talked to in Texas football said virtually the exact same thing. And then most importantly, they came out and played like it. I mean, I get that they're supposed to steamroll Rice. They're expected to, but I think it was the best first quarter for Texas football since 2011. And even just anecdotally, I live in Austin, so I hear a lot of Longhorn chatter and my Longhorn friends saying, this is the Texas that we miss, where when we're supposed to come out and roll an opponent, we do it. And you don't have to hold your breath when we're going to Lawrence, Kansas anymore. And that's kind of what the feeling was, that this was a Texas team that's more capable of taking care of business, as it were, than in the past. So and what a great game against LSU. That was an elite college football game. Lots of fun to watch.
Carter, as my partner said, there's another big game tonight Saturday night on CBS, and that's the Georgia and the Notre Dame game. Give me some of your impressions of that game so far.
Well, I think Georgia right now is the team that is, I mean, this isn't breaking news, the rankings would tell you this, that is much more in a position to contend for a national championship than Notre Dame is right now. You do have two excellent quarterbacks, Jake Fromm and Ian Book, and Notre Dame is skilled, but Georgia right now, I mean, they are at a elite or near elite level, and it's going to be very, very difficult for Notre Dame to go in and beat Georgia this weekend. I mean, I think the dogs are at the point where Kirby Smart exactly wanted them to be, which is where your twos for Georgia would be a contender in the SEC East, and then you have ones ahead of them. You have starters ahead of them, and that's clearly where Georgia is now, and that's taking the Alabama blueprint and taking it to Athens, Georgia, and they've had a lot of success doing it. So I think Georgia is the team that's in much better position to be a national championship contender coming out of that one. I'd be very surprised if the Irish are able to pull that one off.
Carter, we appreciate the time today. Have a great time on Saturday. You're gonna be able to see and call, obviously, a great football game between Auburn and Texas A&M. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Carter.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Randy.
Carter Blackburn there from CBS Sports Network. Again, he's got a good one on Saturday. Not the best one.
Not the best.
But he's got a good one.
It's a pretty damn good one, man.
It's a good Auburn one.
Going into College Station is going to be, you know, in the part that he talked about Kelly Mont, he hasn't, like, I thought it was going to be a step. He did not play well in Clemson. And he needs this game for his psyche. But that's going to be a big game out west.
Yeah, Kellen Mond needs the game for that.
Yeah.
Texas A&M needs the game for their season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, whatever you wanted the season to be, if you get two losses, that takes any sort of important postseason games out of the question, Texas A&M has a crazy hard schedule. We talked about it earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Now, they already played Clemson. Yeah. Now they got Auburn this, and you know they're going to play them. But they got Georgia later in the year, of course. They got Alabama later in the year, of course. A very difficult schedule for Texas A&M.
Georgia LSU to end their season.
Right.
Bam.
Good luck. The flip side, you've got Auburn with their freshman quarterback, Bo Nix, and a chance to sort of put another interesting line on his resume after the great performance at the end of the game, the great game-winning drive and throw and all of that that he had against Oregon earlier on in the year. Now, the big game, the game that we're going to be more focused on here, and look, nationally, the same thing is true probably, is the Georgia-Notre Dame game on Saturday night, 8 o'clock. We got tons of stuff coming up in the remainder of the week leading up to that game. All kinds of all kinds of Georgia Bulldogs. Some of them were teammates of yours.
Just say damn good dogs.
Damn good dogs?
Yeah,
I don't want to say former. Once a Bulldog, always a Bulldog.
Damn good dogs.
We got a lot of guests coming on the show. Even, I think, a couple of Notre Dame guests.
Yeah,
we're going to do a couple Notre Dame guests as well.
We're doing some work, man. We're trying to get this thing because this is a big deal, man. This is a big game that, you know, Georgia, I think, what'd you say the line was this morning?
13.5. 13.5. Which I still don't necessarily understand.
You think it should be higher?
I do. If I was setting the line, I thought it would open at like 16.5 or something like that. Apparently, it opened at about 10.5, and then it's jumped up to 13. I bet it'll be to 16 by
Saturday. They got to run a damn ball. I mean,
yes.
200, Notre Dame's going up like 250 a game. Run a damn ball.
They gave up a lot of big run plays last week against New Mexico,
and a lot of big runs in Louisville.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's get it popping. They got one of the better secondaries, but I mean, you don't have to throw the ball when you can run it.
You really don't. And honestly, we'll continue to break down the game as the week goes on. I know we're going to get to our three damn good Georgia questions in the 12 o'clock hour. Just the early start of trying to break this game down. Look at some numbers. Obviously, look at who Notre Dame is and who they've beaten, and look at who Georgia is. If Georgia just does what Georgia does, which is run the football and hit on defense, like, Georgia could win this game by 30.
Yeah.
Like, I could see Georgia absolutely steamrolling Notre Dame on Saturday.
But here's the thing. They got Ian Book's really a quarterback.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a really good quarterback. And he's one of those quarterbacks that can, you know, he can win games for you in hostile environments.
Yeah.
Because Athens is going to be rocking.
Well, he's mobile. That's the thing. He can move around a little bit. And mobile quarterbacks over the last, five or six games have been the ones that have given Georgia a little bit of trouble.
Yes, yeah. Damn, another week of this. The Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament, benefiting Travis Mangum Foundation at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs, is next Wednesday, September 25th from 4 to 7 p.m. There's going to be a whole bunch of celebrities like Brian Jordan, Muhammad Masquar, Ronnie Brown. There's a two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes, plus we will have a post-tournament Atlanta United viewing party to cheer on the Five Stripes. For ticket information, go to the events page at 92.9 The Game.
So you're telling me we have a bowling tournament coming up?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone right after this. Wendy Adams in studio on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bowling. Wow. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the most important audio in the entire world, as we always do, top of the noon hour. Now, sometimes this happens to us in the studio because outside of our windows, we're on the ninth floor, Colony Square. Outside of our window here, they're building another building between us and where those apartments are. I always thought it was funny that we could look right into those apartments, by the way. When I used to do shows that were on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
You remember I was saying, did you ever see anything?
Yeah, I saw a naked guy one time.
Oh.
Well, not completely naked, but pretty close. He had like tidy whities on, but close.
Do you know what the brand of underwear he was wearing?
I believe they were Fruit of the Loom, but okay. I'm not exactly sure. But they're building a building, and they got cranes, and they're picking up big beams and all kinds of stuff. Those people that do that job, those are brave people.
Yes, they are.
But it's just fun to watch you guys looking like children. Randy's like, do you see what they're lifting? And it's like it's pipes. Cool. And it's like,
it is pretty cool.
It's just like a little palette of stuff. But I am fascinated by the guy who runs the crane because he's at the bottom and they're probably 6 or 7 floors up now.
Right.
and building this building, so he's having to do it without seeing where he's placing it.
Right.
So I find it fascinating.
That'd be a really hard job.
Crane operator.
But, I mean, look, here's the thing that you probably know about guys, Wendy. This is true about us. When we're little kids, we love toys like Tonka trucks and things that look like tools like that. And then when we get bigger, we don't really change. When we grow up, we don't really change. We still like them.
Like, it's just so cool.
And it's not a toy anymore. It's like literally someone's job out there to move that stuff around.
Because that could hit our window.
Yeah, it could. It could. I don't know. I couldn't do that job, but I'd like to try.
Yeah. Well, a couple of NFL tidbits, because Tom Pelissero of NFL Network is reporting that Panthers quarterback Cam Newton's status for Sunday is up in the air after he aggravated a foot injury, and that's from Ian Rappaport and himself. He's rehabbing while his teammates are currently practicing. Ron Rivera is supposed to speak later, but Cam Newton now has a foot injury.
Oh, but I thought it wasn't about the foot.
Huh. I thought it wasn't about the foot.
I guess lame media guy asked a decent question on that one, Randy.
You know my mom got on me about that. Don't be calling Andy names. I said, Mom, I didn't mean it like this. Okay.
Well,
and just note the Panthers, mom
didn't like that.
But I am lame, though.
No, you're not.
Well, sometimes.
No, you're not.
I can be lame.
The Panthers do play the Bears on Sunday. So the Bears are going to be watching this all week.
Oh, yeah.
And if Cam Newton happens to play, I mean, the Bears' defense is pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And you already know he's dealing with the shoulder thing, and now he's got a foot thing. And we wondered, if Cam Newton can't run, then that offense doesn't function correctly. And that kind of gets us back to the point that we started the show with at 10 o'clock. Panthers are in trouble.
Yeah.
Saints are in trouble.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons got to take care of business over the next 6 weeks. Because if they do, they might be in great shape headed into the bye week. Just watching these other teams in the division sort of implode because of injuries. I'm worried about Cam Newton. I've been worried about Cam Newton. I just think the way that he's played for so long is going to – you always knew it would catch up to him.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's catching up to him.
Your guy, Paxton Lynch, Steelers practice squad.
My guy? Yeah. How did Paxton Lynch become my guy?
Everybody's your guy.
Because he was the third string quarterback for the Seahawks in preseason?
Yeah, that's where I was.
All right, I guess. But you know what that means, though? That means our guy Delvin might not be the backup in Pittsburgh anymore.
He can't be no worse than Paxton Lynch. Paxton Lynch is garbage.
Yeah, he's really bad. They drafted him in the first round, by the way.
Not a good player.
He was a first round draft pick. They traded up to get Paxton Lynch. That was John Elway.
And just another little note, Jets star safety Jamal Adams has unfollowed the Jets on Instagram and removed them from his bio. I know Jalen Ramsey has asked for a trade from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, yes, Jamal Adams removing the Jets from all of his social media, so leading to some speculation.
He removed LSU, too. So
He's transferring. He's entering the transfer portal.
We've seen this before. I'm just reporting what's
You're
happening.
You're simply reporting.
I'm just reporting what is happening on the social
on
media
social
networks
media.
That Randy cares so much about.
Hey, Jamal Adams is super good.
He's a hell of a
that guy. That dude can play football.
That dude is great.
He's surrounded by mediocrity on that Jets football team, but, man, he even on as bad as they played last night, he had a really good game. But it is interesting, though. Like, the more common now it is for these guys with names in the NFL, to say, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. Minkah Fitzpatrick got traded yesterday. Jalen Ramsey's going to get traded in the next couple of days. He might end up with the Chiefs.
Somebody got to go. Yeah, you can't have that kind of conversation with a head coach.
Right, but I mean, this is something that is relatively new to be happening at this scale. Like, we're seeing guys do this all the time now. You and I were talking about it in a break, Randy. I just have to feel like the influence of the NBA player and the mobility and the freedom of mobility of the NBA player has to be inspiring these young NFL players to want to do it, too.
They don't care, man. They spoiled, and they want their way, and they usually get it. All right. To each his own. If you got that kind of power, use it. Use it if you got that kind of power. Because the thing about it is, ain't nobody going to get mad at you but fans. And they, you know, whatever. That's how they look at it. Whatever.
Right, and then they'll just go to another city with other fans, and those fans will love them because they'll play good football because they're good football players.
Exactly.
Well, last week I told you guys a story about DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys. He was criticized for refusing to sign an autograph for a young Giants player. Well, now Washington Redskins rookie quarterback Dwayne Haskins has done the same thing, so he's being criticized. He was signing autographs on Sunday on the sidelines. And I feel like this one's a little bit more egregious than what DeMarcus Lawrence did, because he rejected a father and son who were in Cowboys jerseys, but he took their pens, right? So he took their Sharpies, and they were turning over, like he was acting like he was going to sign. I mean, they turned over their poster board or whatever they had to sign, and then he was like, "Nah, I'm good," and just walks away.
Oh, okay. Kind of gave him the pump fake.
Okay,
yeah,
see, you can't have to do that.
And then hands him the Sharpies back.
You have to do that, but he that type of cat though, man. Yeah. He that type of dude. You know, he the league in trouble. The league done messed up. Dude, you strapped a 15 overall.
Shut up.
And you didn't even get named the starter.
You know what I'm saying?
They got Case Keenum starting over you. Case Keenum's not all that good. Yeah, I agree with you, Wendy. That's kind of weak.
Yeah, don't pump fake.
That's like reaching out your hand for a high five and then
pulling it back. Don't do that. If you're gonna act like you don't sign, then sign it.
Just sign it.
Yeah. By the way, we will have to give some praise to Saquon Barkley. So when DeMarcus Lawrence rejected the Giants fan, he was in a Saquon Barkley jersey. Well, Barkley has reached out to that 11-year-old. His name is Camille Bautista and has offered to fly him and his family there for a New York Giants
game. What?
On November the 10th. So he's going to give them, he's obviously going to fly them out, give them meet and greet experience as well as VI treatment at MetLife Stadium to make up for the rejection of the autograph.
Are you serious?
And I knew this is going to bug Randy, and that's why I brought it up.
I'm not bugged.
No?
At all.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, you're not?
Oh, no?
Nope.
Oh.
I'm fine.
It doesn't look like the face of someone who's fine. Actually, it does now. You're doing a good job. That's a solid
face. No, that's not.
Good for Saquon. Good for you. Take care of that young man, all right? Because he'll never be told no again in his life.
It's hard because, like, I love
There's
so
children.
Much
of what he's doing.
I love what Saquon is doing. This is awesome. But nothing happened to that kid.
Thank you. Nothing traumatic happened to that kid. Nothing.
Somebody told him they didn't want to give him an autograph.
And now you get a damn.
If that's the worst thing that happens in his life, then he's going to have a hell of a life.
He's going to have. I mean, damn. So you get rejected and you still get rewarded.
It is hard though because like I love exactly what's happening at the University of Tennessee with that poor fourth grader
yes.
who got bullied.
That's awesome.
That was the right
thing. That's awesome.
This kid didn't get bullied.
He said
he just didn't get an.
He
autograph.
Did not get a damn autograph.
It's children, guys.
I mean, you know, I love kids.
You're signing for everybody else. Just sign for the child.
Hey, no.
You know who signed some autographs on Friday night at the Falcons pep rally?
Who?
Me.
Sweet.
People wanted it.
And you didn't reject any children there, did you?
I rejected all the children, but I signed for all the grown-ups. Get away from me, kid. $20.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the entire world. Get back into what Dan Quinn said yesterday when he met with the media. And much more in the noon hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.